Today we are going to continue our study from the book of Revelation, and we will be going to chapter 19. Let me share my screen, right? Chapter 19, verse 1, and it reads, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." So what it is saying is, after these things, what have just concluded or finished? And we saw that in Revelation chapter 17 and chapter 18, which is about Babylon. We saw about what happened to the apostate church, which was the harlot. And we saw about the commercial Babylon, which has fallen. And so here, the multitudes of people are saying, after these things, and John is saying that he heard a great voice, much people in heaven. And who are these people? And these are the tribulation saints that have come up in heaven, and they are saying, Alleluia, meaning praise the Lord. That is one thing that we probably don't say very much, but here in heaven, they are praising the Lord and saying, Alleluia. And we see that several times in Revelation chapter 19. And he's saying, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And that is, they are thanking and praising God for the salvation, the glory and honor, and the power to our God. And they say, for true and righteous are his judgments. It certainly is, because the world, when that is going through the judgments, it's going through the tribulation, they probably and would not consider that as being righteous, but in the eyes of the believers and these tribulation saints, they are sure that this is true and righteous. Righteous in the sense, everything that Jesus Christ has done has been right. Just imagine the mercy and the grace that our Lord has shown to the people of this world all these years, all these centuries that have passed by. Jesus has been waiting for them to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. They refused and refused and refused. And finally, the judgments have come upon the world. And the people there up in heaven is saying, true, my God, and righteous are your judgments. And he says, for he had judged a great war. Who is this great war here? We saw that in Revelation chapter 17. This is the apostate church. This is the church that is going against the church of God. And that's what we see. And what else did this great war do? They corrupted this earth with adultery and also with idolatry, and had killed the servants of the Lord. And they martyred so many of the believers by her hand. That's what she says. So these multitudes of people that have come up to heaven, they are saying, oh Lord, your judgment has been true. They have been right. There is no problem with the judgments that you have done, and everything has been righteous. And if you look at verse number 3, and again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And this smoke that is rising up is the smoke from the burning of Babylon. If you remember in chapter 18, we saw that Babylon was burning, and that was what was happening. So let us go down. This is the picture of Babylon burning. And if you remember, the commercial Babylon in chapter 18, when they were burning, the owners of the ships, they were crying out loud, not only because of their loss with the ships having no more business, but also the wealth of how they created the wealth that is being lost. Now let's look at verse number 4, and we see the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne and saying, Amen, Alleluia. If you see that, this is about the third time Alleluia comes in and they are praising the Lord. And you probably remember this picture of the throne of God. This is a mental picture that we can have now of the throne of God. It may not be the exact picture, but this is the artist's impression of the throne of God as described in the book of Revelation. And the 24 elders that are seated by the throne of God, they fell down and they worship God, saying, Alleluia. And then in verse number 5, we see a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God. And verse number 5, and praise our God, all ye saints and ye that fear him, both great and small. We do not know who the voice is that comes out from the throne of God. We do not know. It could be an angel telling the people to praise God. All you people, both small and great. It does not say exactly who all, but in my impression, this is everyone. No matter who you are, once you are in the throne of God, you are to praise God, praising the Lord, Alleluia, for all the honor that you can give our Lord and our God. And that is verse 6. Let's go to the next verse, and that is verse 7. And it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Who is the him? It looks like him is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. Why? Look at it. It says, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife have made herself ready. There's great joy and there is great rejoicing going on, and they are giving honor to the Lamb. Why? Because the marriage is coming. The marriage is come, rather. It is right there. And this, as we talked this morning, two events happens for believers once they are raptured up to heaven. Number one is the Bema seat of judgment, or the judgment seat of Christ, where we'll be judged for our works, our good works and bad works. Our bad works will be burned away by fire, but the good works, we will receive that. For the good works, we will receive any of those crowns that has been mentioned, the 5 crowns that we have mentioned. And so the second event is the marriage of the Lamb. What a day that's going to be. We have been looking forward to that day. And it says, and his wife have made herself ready. The wife, which is the church, or which is the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the bridegroom have come and taken her up during the time of the rapture. And she is ready. She has been waiting for years now for this day. And finally, that day has come. And in verse number 8, and we see, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for her fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So here they're saying that she's dressed in the fine linen, and that is talking about the cleanliness, the purity, the honor that this group, this wife of our Lord has received. And also it explains that the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. After all, when we come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the garment of righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we cannot enter into heaven and stand before God with the righteousness our own righteousness, because that righteousness is as filthy rags before God. But we are not standing there with that, but this wife of the Lord Jesus Christ is standing with fine linen, which is the garment of righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings. You know, it is a great honor and privilege to be invited to a wedding, and especially when you talk about the wedding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine the many that goes to and invited to the wedding of our Lord Jesus Christ and the church, which is his wife. I've got a little picture here of a card of invitation saying, let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride, and she has made herself ready. We've got another picture of the bride waiting, and she's going for the marriage. Found another picture, but I thought it was very good. And this was the marriage supper, but of course the marriage supper will be later, which will be after the wedding. And then in verse number 10, we find that our apostle John did another big mistake. I think he was so excited when he saw the worship of the Lord, the people in the throne of God saying, Alleluia, praise the Lord, worshiping him, giving him all due respect and honor, and saying all power to thee. And what did he do? With this excitement, he fell at his feet to worship the angel that was directing and showing him everything that was happening. And verse 10 continues reading, and he said unto me, see thou not, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. It says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the angel is telling John, you are not to worship me. No created being is to worship another. We are not to worship anyone besides God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he realized his mistake, and we see that he probably will never do that again. We do not know, because he has done it several times. We have seen that in the previous chapters, what Apostle John has done. In verse number 11, it says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So we see a picture where the heaven was scrolled back. We saw that in another chapter in the book of Revelation. Heaven was completely opened up. I do not know how to picture that when heaven is opened and he sees a white horse. And this is chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. This person on the white horse is none other than Christ Jesus. And it is not the same as the person on the white horse in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, as we mentioned, that was the Antichrist. This is our Lord himself. And it says that he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Our Lord He is faithful. He will fulfill all the promises that he has given to us. He will fulfill everything. There were so many of the promises that was given to Abraham. And as we read through the Old Testament, we see that during the life of Abraham, that was not fulfilled, but in time, as God had promised, those were fulfilled. And we are coming to the end of time, and we see that our Lord has fulfilled his promises. And that's what they are saying, that he's been faithful, he has been true, and he was righteous, and he judged. And the war that is going to face, and he's going to come to put an end, is righteous also. He's going to judge and make war, because the people that are going to fight against Israel and the God of Israel, they are coming because they hate Israel, they hate the Jews, and they hate the God of Israel. And if you look at verse number 12, it says, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Look at this. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. This eyes that is being described, this eye is a penetrating eye that sees through everything. He's omniscient because he knows everything. We can try to hide whatever we think we can, but we cannot hide it from God. Let us remember that our secret sins, our secret acts, our secret thoughts, none of those can be hid from our Lord, because his eyes are as a flame of fire. His eyes are so penetrating, so deep, that it'll pierce through all our secrets. And look at what he has on his heads. He has on his heads many crowns, many, not just one, not two, not three, but it says many crowns. And if you look at what he had crown of thorns when he was here on his earth. When he was taken to the cross, a crown of thorns. He didn't deserve that, but that crown of thorns was because of us, because of our sins. And as I mentioned this morning, our sins were judged upon the cross 2,000 years ago. And now we can boldly say, because Jesus died for us, we have freedom, and we have a place in heaven. And we see that he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. We do not know what that name is. We do not know, but we will know it probably someday when we reach up to heaven after the rapture. And again, another picture showing a white horse, and he that sat on it was our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And we see the picture of him coming in the white, with a white horse. And we see that a picture here with the white horse he's riding, and his costume was dipped in blood, indicating that he gave and poured his precious blood for us. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Many people do not believe the Lord Jesus because they just do not want to. And there is open gospel that's giving out, being given out in this world, especially in this country. We hear the gospel on TV and other places, and people have openly refused the gospel. It is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an indication that he shed his blood for us on the cross of Calvary. And if you see in verse number 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And we see another picture here of a Lord leading that battle. He's coming. This is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming actually to take care of the people that is fighting against him. He's going to battle against the armies that are battling against Israel and against the God of Israel. That's what we see here. And those that are behind in these white horses, these are the believers. These are those that have been raptured up. These are those that have been there already. And if you look at the back, a good depiction of the angels, the host of angels that are there also coming down with him. And we see that it says that the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Again, talking about holiness, talking about purity. And we have, by the grace of God, we have been made pure, and we are there coming down with him. Imagine that horse ride back to earth. And we are supporting our Lord Jesus at that time. Another picture of our Lord leading with his costume dipped in blood, and those behind him, and the flags seen with the cross. I think we have already seen this picture of our Lord leading with white horses and the armies that are coming behind him. What a sight that is going to be. And verse 16, we have all says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, he is the undoubted King of Kings. He is the undoubted Lord of Lords. No one can contest with him. No one can argue with him. No one can stand up to him. There was a time when he was on this earth, and we saw that to the accusations that were made to him, he kept his mouth closed. He did not argue back. He did not say anything, because he was taking that sinfulness of the world, our sinfulness. He was taking that upon himself, and he did not say anything. So as we look back, we see in the beginning of the chapter, we see the multitude of the people praising the Lord. Alleluia, all praises. And then we saw the marriage of the Lamb. And then we saw the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then something else is going to happen. In verse number 17, it reads, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God. What is this? You see, our Lord God is anticipating the tremendous calamity that's going to happen with this war, which is the Battle of Armageddon, which is going to happen as many multitudes of these soldiers and kings and people and warriors, they're all going to die. And here, the angel was standing in the sun. Can you imagine standing in the sun on a hot day all day long? It's not easy, because the sun will burn you. And this is the angel of the sun, because the angel is able to control the power of the heat of the sun. And he's standing there and crying. And to whom is he crying? He's crying out to the birds that is flying in the midst of heaven. He says, come, come, O birds, come, O fowls, all of you come, and we are going to have a get together. And this is the supper of the great God. And who are these that the supper will be of? These are that he may eat the flesh of kings and the captains, flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Can you imagine that? Because God, this angel is inviting the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, all kinds of vultures and whatever birds you can think of is invited to the supper of this great God. If you look at it, there are about four or five suppers that has been mentioned in the Word of God. I remember reading about the invitation to the supper of salvation in Luke chapter 14. That was the parable where Jesus tells his servants to go and call and invite them all to come for the supper that he has prepared. And you know, in that parable, a few of them gives all kinds of excuses how they cannot come. And so Jesus tells them, go and call the lame, the sick, the disabled, and just anyone, because I want my house filled. Jesus wants as many people, many of his children to come, many of his creation to come and be in heaven. Many refuses, and many knowingly refuses. They have the invitation, but they have refused. The second supper that is mentioned is in the Bible is this, the Lord's Supper that we did that this morning. The Lord's Supper and the third supper. Mentioned in the Bible is the supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we see three suppers already. And the fourth supper is the great supper of the great God. These are to the fowls. And if you look at it, if you are not participant in the first supper, supper of salvation, you will not be in participation at the Lord's Supper, and you will not be at the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. You see, and the fourth supper is the supper where you are not a participant, but you are in fact the one that is being supped upon. It is a sad story for that group of people. So we need to understand, and we need to be able to, as we witness, to let the people know the importance of making a decision for our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 18, it says that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and great and free and bound. So that's what we see here, a great feast that is going on. This is the carnage, will be the earth, all around the earth. And we see as the invitation is given, the birds all gather. This is the bird feast, and they all gathering for this tremendous belly full that they're going to have as our Lord Jesus Christ comes leading. Look at that vesture dipped in blood. That is the vesture that is imitating or telling us about what he did upon the cross of Calvary. That is a constant reminder for us as to what Jesus did. This is a picture of the angel standing in the sun, inviting the people to that great supper of God. And in verse number 19, it says, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Look at this. Both the beast which is the Antichrist, and the beast, the false prophet. They were both captured. They were both captured as soon as Jesus comes, and along with his army. And what did Jesus do? They are taken and they are put into the lake of fire. Straight. There is no judgment for them because they have already been judged and they've been thrown into the lake of fire, which is also called hell. And we look at verse number 21, and it says, and the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Two things that are mentioned in verse number 21, and that is the rest of the people, they were slain, and our Lord Jesus Christ did not have to go out to fight literally with the sword, but the sword that comes out of his mouth is the word of God. You see, it is a two-edged sharpened sword. One edge could be the Old Testament. The other edge could be the New Testament with the word of God, or rather just the words from our God sees that the opposing enemy army has been killed. And all the fowls that were there had their full, and they feasted upon the people that was in the death camp there. Picture of the beast and the armies that was defeated. You can see how devilish they look and how terrible they look, and they were all defeated. This is Satan. Satan was bound at that time, and Satan was thrown into the bottomless pit. Satan, still we know that later after the millennial kingdom, he will be released in the after the 1,000-year reign, and he will be let out, and he will do another war with God. And then we see one more picture. We see this is the beast. This is the Antichrist, and this is the false prophet being thrown into the lake of fire. And, you know, they are going to be there, and they will be alive forever and ever and ever. And, you know, the answer to the question that the tribulation saints have asked, those who are martyred, when are you going to avenge for the blood of ours, the blood of our innocent blood that was shed only because we testified for you, Lord, for the word of God. We stood up for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. When are you going to avenge for that blood? And we see the answer right now. We see with the word of God, just the words from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, he puts an end to everything. And then he will go on to reign and rule and give all glory to his Father and to everything that is godly. These are the vultures. Looks like they have had the full, had their fill. Looks like they can't even walk because they are overfilled with those enemies of God. And that is one of the feasts that these birds, or fowls as they call it, has been called to, and they are enjoying themselves. So with this, we close chapter 19, and let me end with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this Resurrection Sunday, a time that we can give you thanks for what you've made it possible for us, oh Father. We thank you for your death for us. We thank you for being placed in the tomb, but you had victory, oh Lord. On the third day, you rose up. You rose up and appeared before your disciples, your people. And on the 40th day, O Lord, we know that you ascended into heaven and you are seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, interceding there for our sins. We thank you, O Father. Father, be with all our dear ones, those that are with us this morning and also this evening. And Father, we pray for all the prayer requests that has been requested. We pray for them. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.